Chapter 12. Speak what is good for building up. Let a rotten word not come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up. Ephesians 4:29. Paragraphs 1 to 3. Question A. What is one of the good gifts Jehovah has given us? How could we misuse it? Question B. How should we use the gift of speech? A father gives a bicycle to his teenage son. He is happy to give his son such a special gift. But what if the son rides the bike recklessly, hits someone, and injures him? How would the father feel? Jehovah is the giver of every good gift and every perfect present. James 1:17. One of his good gifts to us is our ability to speak. The gift of speech allows us to express our thoughts and feelings. We are able to say things that help people and make them feel good. But what we say can also harm others and cause them pain. Speech is very powerful, and Jehovah teaches us how to use our gift of speech well. He tells us, "Let a rotten word not come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up, as the need may be, to impart what is beneficial to the hearers." Ephesians 4:29. Let's examine how we can use this gift from God in a way that will please Him and encourage others. Be careful with your speech. Paragraphs 4 and 5. Question. What can we learn about the power of speech from Bible Proverbs? Words have power, so we need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A calm tongue is a tree of life, but twisted speech causes despair." Just as a beautiful tree is refreshing and gives life, kind words refresh the hearer. On the other hand, harsh words hurt others and make them feel bad. Thoughtless speech is like the stabs of a sword, says Proverbs 12:18. Unkind words can cause emotional pain and destroy relationships. Perhaps you can recall when someone spoke unkindly to you and hurt you deeply. Yet that proverb continues, "The tongue of the wise is a healing." Thoughtful speech can mend an aching heart and heal friendships that have been damaged by misunderstandings. Proverbs 16:24 reads, "Pleasant sayings are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and a healing to the bones." If we remember that our words affect others, we will use them carefully. Paragraph 6, question. Why is it a struggle to control what we say? Another reason to be careful with our speech is that we are all imperfect. The inclination of the heart of man is bad, and our words often reveal what is in our heart. Genesis 8:21. It can be a real struggle to control what we say. James 3:2 through 4 reads, "For we all stumble many times. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle also his whole body." If we put bridles in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide also their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so big and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the man at the helm is inclined to go. But we need to keep trying to improve how we speak to others. Paragraphs 7 and 8. Question. How can our words affect our relationship with Jehovah? We also need to be careful with our speech because we are accountable to Jehovah for what we say and how we say it. James 1:26 says, "If any man thinks he is a worshiper of God but does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he is deceiving his own heart, and his worship is futile." The original word translated futile can also mean useless. So if we are careless with our speech, we can damage and even destroy our relationship with Jehovah. Clearly, we have good reasons to be careful about what we say and how we say it. To help us use our gift of speech the way Jehovah wants us to, we need to know what kinds of speech to avoid. Words that tear down. Paragraphs 9 and 10. Question A. What kind of speech is very common in today's world? Question B. Why do we avoid using obscene speech? Using obscene or unclean language is very common today. Many think that they need to swear and use vulgar words to get their point across. Comedians often rely on dirty jokes and obscene language to make people laugh. However, the Apostle Paul said, "You must put them all away from you. Wrath, anger, badness, abusive speech, and obscene talk out of your mouth." Colossians 3:8. He also said that obscene jesting should not even be mentioned among true Christians. Ephesians 5:3 and 4. Obscene language is displeasing to Jehovah and to those who love Him. It is unclean. In the Bible, uncleanness is included in the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Uncleanness can include a wide variety of sins, and one unclean habit can lead to another. If a person made a habit of using extremely unclean, obscene language and refused to stop, this could indicate that he should no longer be part of the congregation.
And note 23, brazen conduct and uncleanness. Brazen conduct involves speaking or acting in a way that is a serious violation of God's standards and reflects a shameless attitude. A person who does this shows that he does not respect God's laws. When a person is guilty of brazen conduct, a judicial committee will handle the matter. Uncleanness includes various types of wrongdoing. Depending on the seriousness of the situation, some matters involving uncleanness might need to be handled by a judicial committee in the congregation. For more information, see Questions from Readers in the Watchtower of July 15, 2006. End of endnote.
Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question A. What is harmful gossip? Question B. Why should we avoid slandering someone? We also need to avoid harmful gossip. It is natural for us to be interested in others and to share news about friends and family. Even in the first century, early Christians wanted to know how their brothers and sisters were doing and what they could do to help them. But it is easy for conversations about other people to turn into harmful gossip. If we repeat gossip, we may say things that are not true or talk about things that should be kept private. If we are not careful, this negative talk can turn into false accusations or slander. The Pharisees slandered Jesus when they accused him of things he had not done. Slander hurts a person's reputation, leads to arguments and pain, and destroys friendships. Jehovah wants us to use our words to help and encourage others, not to turn friends into enemies. Jehovah hates those sowing contentions among brothers. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. The first slanderer was Satan the devil, who slandered God. In today's world, it is common for people to lie about one another. But this should not happen in the Christian congregation. So we should be careful about what we say and always think before we speak. Before you repeat something about someone else, ask yourself, is what I am about to say true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Would I want the person I'm talking about to hear what I say? How would I feel if someone said this about me? 1 Thessalonians 4:11 reads, "Make it your aim to live quietly and to mind your own business and to work with your hands just as we instructed you." Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question A. What can abusive speech do to people? Question B. What is reviling? Why should Christians avoid reviling others? At times, all of us say things we later regret. But we do not want to make a habit of criticizing others or saying unkind or cruel things. Abusive speech has no place in our lives. Paul said, "Put away from yourselves every kind of malicious bitterness, anger, wrath, screaming, and abusive speech." Ephesians 4:31. Other Bibles translate abusive speech as evil words, injurious language, and insulting language. Abusive speech robs people of their dignity and makes them feel worthless. Children in particular can be hurt very easily, so we want to be especially careful not to crush them with our words. The Bible warns us about a very strong form of abusive speech, reviling. Reviling is constantly insulting others with the intention of hurting them. How sad it would be if someone treated his mate or children in that way. In fact, a person who refused to stop reviling others would no longer qualify to be part of the congregation. As we have learned, if we say things that are obscene, untrue, or unkind, we will harm our relationship with Jehovah and with others. Words that build up. Paragraph 15. Question. What kind of speech strengthens relationships? How can we use our gift of speech the way Jehovah wants us to? Even though the Bible does not tell us exactly what we should or should not say, it does tell us to speak only what is good for building up. Ephesians 4:29. Speech that builds up is clean, kind, and true. Jehovah wants us to use our words to encourage and help others. This may be challenging. It takes more effort to say positive things than to say cruel and careless things. Let's discuss some ways we can build others up by what we say. Paragraphs 16 and 17. Question A. Why should we commend others? Question B. Whom can we commend? Both Jehovah and Jesus generously give commendation. We want to imitate them. To give commendation that will really encourage someone involves being thoughtful and showing personal interest. A word spoken at the right time, how good it is, says Proverbs 15:23. We are encouraged when someone sincerely commends us for our hard work or expresses appreciation for something we have done. Matthew 7:12 reads, "All things, therefore, that you want men to do to you, you also must do to them." This, in fact, is what the law and the prophets mean.
End note 27. Commendation and encouragement. All of us need commendation and encouragement. We can strengthen and comfort one another with loving and kind words. Such expressions can help our brothers and sisters to endure and keep serving Jehovah despite great difficulties. If someone feels very discouraged, we should listen to him respectfully and try to understand how he feels. That can help us to know what we can say or do to help him. Make it your goal to know your brothers and sisters well so that you genuinely understand what they need. Then you can help them to turn to the source of all comfort and encouragement, where they can find true refreshment. End of endnote.
If you make it a habit to look for the good in others, it will be easier to give sincere commendation. For example, perhaps you notice that someone in the congregation prepares well for his talks or makes an effort to comment at meetings. A young person may take a fine stand for the truth in school, or an older person may regularly share in the ministry. Your words of appreciation may be just what they need. It is also very important for a husband to tell his wife that he loves and appreciates her. Just as plants need light and water, people need to feel appreciated. This is especially true of children. Look for opportunities to commend them for their good qualities and efforts. Commendation can build their courage and confidence and can make them try even harder to do what is right. Paragraphs 18 and 19. Question. Why should we do our best to encourage and comfort others? How can we do so? When we encourage and comfort others, we follow Jehovah's example. He cares deeply about the lowly and those being crushed. Isaiah 57:15. Jehovah wants us to keep encouraging one another and to speak consolingly to those who are depressed. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and 14. When we try to do this, He sees and appreciates our efforts. You may notice that someone in the congregation is discouraged or depressed. What can you say that might help? You may not be able to fix the problem, but you can let the person know that you care. For example, you can arrange to spend time with him or her. You could read an encouraging Bible verse and even offer to say a prayer. Reassure such ones that their brothers and sisters in the congregation love them, and speak in a way that shows that you really mean and believe what you say. Proverbs 12:25 reads, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up." Paragraphs 20 and 21. Question. What makes it easier for people to accept advice? We also build others up when we give good advice. As imperfect people, we all need advice from time to time. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline in order to become wise in your future. Elders are not the only ones who can offer advice or give counsel. Parents need to guide their children, and sisters can give good advice to one another. Because we love our brothers and sisters, we want to make sure that we give advice in a way that will not make them feel bad. What can help us? Perhaps you remember a time when someone gave you some good advice in a way that was easy to accept. What made it so effective? You probably felt that the person really cared about you, or maybe he or she spoke in a kind and loving way. Likely, the advice was based on the Bible. Whether we quote directly from the Bible or not, there should be a scriptural basis for any advice we give. Nobody should force his opinions on others or misapply scriptures to support his own ideas. Remembering the way advice was given to you can help you when you give advice to others. Paragraph 22. Question. How would you like to use your gift of speech? The ability to speak is a gift from God. Our love for Him should move us to use it properly. Remember that words have power to tear down or to build up. Therefore, let us do all we can to use our words to strengthen and encourage others. Bible Principles. 1. Our ability to speak is a gift from God. Every good gift and every perfect present is from above. James 1:17. How can we show that we appreciate this gift? Ephesians 4:29 and James 1:26. Words have power. We need to think carefully about what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 16:24, Isaiah 57:15, and 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Use your gift of speech as Jehovah intended. Use your words to heal, encourage, teach, comfort, motivate, and help others. Proverbs 12:18 and 15:23 and Matthew 7:12. Saying the wrong thing at the wrong time can lead to argument and pain. 2. Speak in a way that pleases God. Let your words always be gracious. Colossians 4:6. How can our speech affect our family and friends? Proverbs 31:28 and Revelation 2:1 through 3. Everyone needs love and appreciation, especially from family members. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 and 26:20. Colossians 3:8 and 21 and 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Abusive or vulgar speech and constant criticism are very damaging. False accusations can harm someone's reputation and destroy peace. Proverbs 15:1 and 2, Philippians 2:3 and 4, and James 1:19. Show by your speech that you care more about others than yourself. Listen carefully. 3. Advice should be guided by love. Listen to counsel and accept discipline in order to become wise in your future. Proverbs 19:20. How can we give good advice? Psalm 34:18, Matthew 10:29 through 31, and 2 Timothy 3:16. Advice should be based on the Bible and given in a kind way. Proverbs 12:25, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and James 3:2 through 4. Use your gift of speech to strengthen and encourage others.